Well, good morning. Hopefully everybody's doing decently and today. I got up this morning thinking that the heat might have broken a little bit, you know, optimism, but who knows, at some point maybe we'll get a nice thunder shower. That's what I've been hoping for all week. So just to kind of recap this week, you know, this series is all based about our relationship with God. I preach this my church a couple months ago, and it was all based on just deepening our relationship. So on Monday, we talked about the very simple question, who is God? You know, very simple but very profound. We need to continually ask that question, because that question changes as we grow in who God is. The answer changes because He's so individual, He's so personal. And then we transitioned over to God doesn't respond to prayer because He's already here. He answers prayer, but He's responding to our entire lives. He never leaves us alone. And then yesterday, the power of community. The ability to get together. God has given us an amazing gift. And so this morning, I want to start off with a short story, I think one we're all familiar with. We'll jump over to Mark 5, verses 1 to 20. So I could start here. So they went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and he fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replies, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send him or send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on a nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." So he gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down a steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and the countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right minds, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. But Jesus did not let him go. But he said, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." Yep. Anyone else? Because all of that's true. But in reading the story a while back, something dawned on me, and maybe it's flawed reasoning, but the question popped to mind. If I am deathly afraid of something, and we see the demons are, and they're in full control of them, why would I run towards something I'm deathly afraid of? Well, let's look at it from this man's point of view. He's very aware he's demon-possessed. So aware, this man can't even speak anymore. When Jesus talks to him, the only thing that answers is the demons. They have control over his mind, they have control over his body, they have control over his voice. They feel Jesus coming over, see him from afar. And what would be our first, well, honestly, when we look at just the way they reacted, what was the first inclination? To get out of there. Jesus sends them into the pigs and they don't go running off doing what they do. They jump over a cliff and kill themselves. The idea is to get as far away from him as possible. And yet, what we see here at work also is a very amazing thing. The power of choice. We see this in the Garden of Eden. God gives Adam and Eve choice. This man, though he couldn't speak, though he didn't know who Jesus was, he's lived in, we can't even imagine the kind of terror for how many years. He feels the demon's fear, and his only thought probably is, that's my way to freedom. And so he heads in that direction. Can you imagine how hard that would be after you've spent an entire lifetime battling these demons and losing to run towards Jesus? Hard to imagine. And yet this teaches us something very unique about our condition. When we struggle with sin, we want to take it to God. And God does take it. Now, I love to use this analogy. I use this all the time. I look at sin as fruit. You know, we have a tree in our backyard. Sin is the fruit on that tree. We go out constantly and we see how disgusting it is, how it repulses us. And so what we do is we go and we pluck it, put it in a basket, and we bring it to God. My issues, my sins, my problems, take them. He lovingly takes them. He lovingly works with it. And so for a while, we get to go away just feeling great about ourselves. There's an issue, though. If we just pluck at the fruit, it comes back. And so, we repeat the cycle. And he continually takes it. And then after a while, as we become comfortable with him taking the issues, helping us work through them, he makes a statement that makes us uncomfortable. At some point, he says, do you want the fruit gone? Who wouldn't? Okay, yes, we want the fruit gone. And then he does something strange. Instead of going out and plucking all the fruit off the tree, he goes and he starts digging in the dirt. Yet, we show up going, that's not where the problem is. The fruit, it's not the root. You're actually destroying my lawn. The tree's not the problem, it's the fruit. Just get rid of that. Yet, Jesus understands something very key to our struggle with sin. The fruit's not the problem. It never was. It is merely the symptom. Those roots have sunk deep. And he understands that if he gets rid of the root, the fruit will never come back. Now I was reading a book by Jay Stringer. It's called Unwanted. How to Deal with Sexual Brokenness and Unwanted Behavior. Now he is a counselor who has dealt with it for I think 20 years. And he's been over in the Seattle area. He made a statement. I think it was either in one of his videos or in the book. That was very profound. He was saying anytime he was ever dealing with somebody who was coming in struggling with sexual sin, he would always start off with the same question. Well, questions, I should say. So what is it that you want? And well, they're here for healing. Okay, if you want healing, and if your issue is, for instance, pornography, his question is, what is it that you're looking at? What is it that you seek out? And the answer is almost always the same. Why does that matter? I'm not here to deal with that. I want it gone. And yet, his point is, understanding what we're struggling with, facing what we're struggling, is the key to healing. When we understand what we are really struggling with, and we're bringing that to God, look at the demoniac. He's struggling with demons. Self-control, whatever it is, like this guy is demon-possessed. And he runs to Jesus full display, this is my issue, here are my demons, take them. Allowing Jesus to dive into what the actual issue is. Now, it really changed my life, my very look on how we deal with sin. Because often we're all in the same boat. We all sin. We all fall. And I spent most of my life trying to pray the sin away, bringing it to God and just leaving it there. But over the last year, God has revealed to me that, no, it won't just disappear. He wants me to understand. If I'm struggling with something, I bring to Him, this is what I'm struggling with. Why? What is the need in this sin? Just like fruit needs the root to feed it, our sins need certain pains and certain wounds in our past to be present. A sin cannot be a problem if there is not a wound in our past that it latches onto. And so what God wants us to do, and He asks us the most uncomfortable question, or questions. Let's go back to those wounds. Let's deal with those together. Whether it be with things like Jay deals with, what is it that you're struggling with the sexual part, or what is it with, it could be compulsive lying, which I've seen in my family. Whether it could be gossip, also big in my family, mean-spiritedness. There's always a wound in our past. And to look at Jesus and say, okay, this is a drive-by, here, take it, I don't want it, I don't want I don't want to be part of the process, just take it all. It doesn't actually heal us. We have to allow Him in. We have to allow Him to unearth the wounds and then to close it up. Very difficult process for us. But one of the things that He promises us, and actually I love this text here, Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me. At no point in time is any sin, is any issue we've ever struggled with too great for God, too embarrassing for Him, no matter how much shame it might cause us. He is willing to dive into the worst parts of our past. Not just dive, but also reveal to us that He was there with us. For Him, it's all about bringing us healing. I think it's C.S. Lewis that makes the statement. I think it was The Great Divorce. I could be wrong, but the statement was that heaven and hell work both forward and backwards. The moment we choose God, from that moment forward, is heaven on earth. Everything in our past has led us up to that moment. It is God's work. Now, if we combine that, I think even with one of Ellen White's statements, the statement where she, now I could be also wrong because I'm not an Ellen White scholar, so please forgive me if I am, but where she makes the statement that when we look back on our past, the moments of greatest pain, the moments of greatest shame, the moments of greatest struggle will be beacons of light. Now, if I'm wrong, please feel free to correct me afterwards, because I'm pretty sure I read it in one of her books, but then again, like I said, my mind isn't exactly what it should be when it comes to Ellen White's writings. But the idea is to give God everything. With a demoniac, his most embarrassing, uncomfortable, terrible situation, and yet Jesus' command is very simple. Go tell others what I've done for you. Go tell them how I've released you from this. Same with us. When we bring God everything and we allow Him to heal, imagine the testimony that is. That allows God to get in deep, restore, and just be who He is. So, pretty much all I want to put out there this morning, I'll ask Erna to come up and lead out in some prayer, and I'll hand it over to you.
That was really, really good. The wonderful thing about God is that He never wastes our pain. Whatever we have gone through in the past, it's always for, can be used for His glory when He brings the healing in. And I really love that verse in Matthew 15 where Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and He says, whatever my Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. And, you know, they were complaining about the traditions of men. Why hadn't the disciples washed their hands before they ate? But it also applies to the roots of the issues that we have to deal with as well, and the things that scar us. So I just want to give a little bit of a testimony. It's not my personal testimony, but it came about as a result of a friendship. A friend of mine was sexually abused as a child by his father. His first memories are of being sexually abused. Scarred him terribly. And he always, you know, he sought healing from God, but it wasn't until he finally asked God the question, where were you when this happened, when all this stuff was going on? And when he finally had the courage to ask that question, he said immediately God flashed a picture in his mind, and God was standing in the doorway. Jesus was standing in the doorway with his arms out. And that was just like amazing for him. And then he said, why didn't you do anything about it? And the picture came again. But this time, he could see that the hands were nailed. God will speak to each one of us at our area of deepest need. Do not be afraid to uncover the roots. Ask Him what the roots are. Many times we have no clue. We have covered our pain so thoroughly and we have denied it. We have said we deserved whatever we got. None of that is true. Those are lies that Satan puts in our minds. But the healing is available, and God delights to heal. This morning we're going to do just personal prayer, not with a friend, not with a spouse. We're going to just do it personally. And You can either remain here to do it, or if it's easier for you to just be in nature while you do it, then you're free to go and find a quiet place. But please do it. Ask God what the roots are that He needs you to surrender to Him. Ask Him to show you what those roots are. And He always is very gentle, I can assure you of that. I have experienced that myself. It can be very scary to ask Him to do that, but He's very gentle and very kind, and He is always there. So ask Him what the roots are that He needs to uncover in your heart. Maybe you react in a childish way for something. Or maybe you have anger that just builds up and spills over every once in a while. I don't know what the issue is for you. But there always is a root that needs to be uncovered. Ask Him what it is. Ask Him where He is in all of that. And ask Him then what He wants to do about it. You are His, and your issues are His to deal with and His to heal. So I just invite you to do that, and I'm just going to say a prayer ahead of time before we move into that. Father in heaven, I just want to thank You that there is nothing that touches any one of us that You were not present. You did not feel it even more than maybe we did. There's nothing that You aren't eager to relieve us of and heal. We thank You for that. We praise You for being that kind of a God who is really that personal. And I just pray for each one of us that as we take time now to go through that process, that You will accomplish fully everything that You desire. I thank You that You do not waste our pain. You use it to bring healing to others and encouragement to others. And each one of us needs a testimony at that deep level. So I thank You and praise You for what You will do. In Jesus' name, amen.